Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You're a dog for this, dude.
I love it, Nathan. Way to go, brother. It is here. It is officially Christmas music season, right?
She's warmed up. She's ready to go, Bob.
Sing it, Mariah. What are you doing over there? Are you okay? Oh, my God. This guy's like caught in his chair. I've never seen anything like it. What's going on, Dusty? He's going to throw the chair out the window or something. Like, you legitimately are stuck.
The wheel of my chair like ate my microphone.
Yeah, it rolled over. I ate your headphone cord. There you go. It's all good.
I'm trying to be as live as possible.
Yeah, I know. I mean, did you see it on the camera? I don't know if they're working today. But anyway, it is officially Christmas music time, and that's okay.
No, it's not.
It's okay.
No, we'll have a discussion about that because November is just like the redheaded stepchild.
You sent that take yesterday about November, and I started to really think about it, I'm like, you're right.
Thank you.
You're right on that one. I fall right in line with you on it. So we'll talk about November and then what that means coming up later.
Remember, the 5th of November.
That's right.
I think it's the 5th that he says that on. V for Vendetta, great movie. The Chiefs are impressive, more than maybe we think, when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. You remember that stat I gave you about 4 weeks ago that they were giving up 5 points in the second half on average?
Yeah.
Now it's gone up. It's ballooned to 7.1.
Okay.
So they're giving up essentially a touchdown in the second half.
That's right.
And you look at the board over there that I've, you know, very well done due diligence and research with. If they're getting up 7 points in the second and the first half, and I can look up their second half or their first half numbers, but the conversation doesn't merit that. They're scoring 20 points and they're essentially giving up 17.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty simple math. They're winning games by three. They're winning games by 3.5, 4 points every game. They're not losing.
Right.
And the reason they're doing that is because I think, like most people would say, like they're winning the battle. Like, yeah, they're, you know, losing some guys in the battle, right? Like, they've had injuries that are catastrophic, but they're still finding ways to win the battle because strategically, they know what they need to do. They're top five in getting third down conversions. I haven't looked up their time of possession, but I think they're top five in that. And when you look at the stat chart, and I know you have some here that have really blown you away when it comes to the run D and the pass D, but, like, when you look at the stat chart, and I remember being a kid, my dad would always tell me the thing that you look at is turnovers and time of possession. He's like, if you win time of possession, you win the turnover margin, more often than not in the win column, you're going to see your team win.
Is your dad Dick Vermeil by chance?
I wish, man. No, I'm kidding. I love my dad for who he is. But Dick Vermeil, big small yay, by the way.
Yes.
No, it's very impressive. 7 points in the second half, which means whatever they're doing in the first half, they're letting you kind of, when we hear this all the time with Spags, the opening drive, they tend to score. They tend to get, you know, a lot of yardage, and Spags like, thank you for showing your hand. I'll now take over from here. It was nice to see you tonight at the ball.
The rest
of the dance is on me. And then the second half, I mean, to me, that number's impressive. You've got more numbers that you want to look at that have impressed you, but 7 points allowed in the second half in seven games. The sample size at one point, you had to think to yourself, okay, that's a good enough sample size for me to realize they are locked down in the second half.
You know, they definitely are. They're locked down on defense, you know, the entire ball game. And, you know, the turnover margin thing is really like they're bucking that trend this year because, you know, Vermeil used to roll through the stats all the time. If you were minus one, you had like this percentage. Like, and if you were like minus three, you had like a 1% chance of winning a football game. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are in the negative, I still believe, with turnovers right now. And they're undefeated and they're finding a way to buck the trend. And the big reason of that is because they're really, really good on defense. I think we still continue to underestimate how good this team is defensively. And that's a shame because these guys deserve their flowers, you know, for how good they are. You know, it's all the credit Spags. But I mean, these players are going out there and they're making all these great plays. And we always want to celebrate offense, I should say, in the NFL. But one of our great listeners, Austin Hall, sent me these two spreadsheets of stats. And Dusty goes, you don't like stats. I go, I don't like the nerd stats that are fake. I do like stats that actually matter. And this is what the Chiefs defense has done against the top running back on each team that they've played so far. far this season. And Derrick Henry, 46 yards. Moss, 34 yards. Robinson, 31 yards. J.K. Dobbins, 32 yards. Kamara, 26 yards. Mason, 58 yards. Madison, 15 yards. That's how much they're giving up rushing to these top running backs in the NFL. They're not giving up any yards. And to take it one step further, they're shutting down some of the best receivers in the NFL as well. Zay Flowers, 37 yards. Jamar Chase, 35 yards. Drake London, 67 yards. Ladd McConkey, 67 yards. Chris Olave, 10 yards. George Kittle, 92. He had a nice day. Mm-hmm. And Jacoby Myers had 52 yards receiving last week against them. They're shutting down the number one wide receiver on every team and the top running back on every team. They're literally, Dusty, taking away the two biggest weapons on every team. And that's not an anomaly. That's a damn fact.
And that's what's crazy about everything is that, you know, you hear about teams that come into play or the teams that the Chiefs are about to play. And you look at, you know, week one, Derrick Henry, who you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the best running back in football this year?
Derrick Henry, by far.
Or Saquon Barkley, right? Flip a coin. I'm not going to be mad if you choose head or tails. Bengals, kind of an open. I mean, I know they have that Brown kid, whatever. But the Falcons, man, like they have a two-headed monster.
Yes, they do.
Allen Greer and Bijan Robinson are both like very sought after around, you know, people are thinking that Dallas is going to get smoked this weekend because they play Atlanta. Dallas can't stop the run. And there's a two-headed monster in Atlanta that's very talented. Mm-hmm. Chiefs shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
We can keep going if you want.
Yeah.
J.K. Dobbins, right?
Yeah.
He had, I think, the first three games of the season, he had 100 yards, or at least first two games, he had 100 yards. Everybody's like, J.K. Dobbins is healthy. He really understands the Harbaugh system. He's the kind of guy that keep your eye on.
32 yards.
Hey, how you doing? Right? And it's just like, it's like, okay, it's like, you know, Bengals, no running back. And then the Saints, right?
Yeah.
They come to town. And everybody's like, well, Alvin Kamara still got a step. He put four touchdowns on Dallas. Was it Dallas's rushing defense? Is Alvin Kamara back? Alvin Kamara plays Kansas City.
26 yards.
Exactly. Yeah. Not even 30 yards. And again, they lose that game 26-13. 49ers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had said, and this is, I'm just trying to be fair. I know it's not Christian McCaffrey. We all know Christian McCaffrey didn't play. But for those of you that are in fantasy, for those of you that are in the football loop all the time, the thing was, is it was like, you don't have to be Christian McCaffrey to run the ball in this offense because the guy that Mason, who was running instead of him, was blowing people away. And they were like, is it him or is it the system? And he had
58 yards rushing.
Raiders are relevant because, I mean, Alexander Madden said they had not even 20 yards rushing.
15.
Yeah.
I mean, so 15 like, yards rushing.
And that's the thing is that Derrick Henry, J.K. Dobbins, Robinson teamed with Allen Greer, and all these other guys, Kamara, they're having good games. The one thing that is not happening to the Chiefs is no one's having a good game against the Chiefs.
That's right.
And the one thing that we talked about earlier this week, and look, there's a two-headed monster in Tampa Bay. There's no doubt about it. They have a two-headed monster, Rashard White, who's a local kid, and the other name I'm drawing a blank on, but he just got
Allstott.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Gosh, what is his name? I'm drawing a blank.
Is it Bucky Irving?
Bucky Irving.
Yeah.
He's kind of their third down scat back spark. White's kind of like their thunder. He's their lightning. But again, a two-headed monster. And what have we said this whole week is that maybe the defense is becoming more relevant in the NFL because everyone was tired of getting, you know, the stat line looking like 38-35 every week. And the other thing that we've seen come alive is the run defense or the run offense has started to become more relevant. The Chiefs have solidified themselves as certified G's and bona fide studs on defense. Not only that, but they're covering the run game. And the one thing that's been prominent in the league this year is that people are learning and figuring out how to run the ball and play defense. And the Chiefs are learning how to run the ball, stop the run, play defense.
Well, and they're always ahead.
They're always that one step ahead of you.
Yeah, they're always ahead of you. And that's the beautiful thing about Brett Veach. And it's why we celebrate him so much is because he's always one step ahead of where you need to be. And I remember a couple weeks before the San Francisco game, I was talking to a talent evaluator in the NFL. I'm like, wow, San Francisco's really down without Christian McCaffrey. They go, yeah, they got a pretty good backup running back right now. He's going to be pretty good for them. And you better watch it. And I'm like, okay, who's that? And they said, Mason. I'm like, and I'm like, oh, okay. We'll see what he can do. 58 yards rushing. He's been good against everybody else but the Kansas City Chiefs. And so they just have it. They just have better coaches. They have better players. They have better schemes. They're smarter. They just do everything better than everybody else. And the proof is in the pudding when you start to look at how do they do against the great players? How do they do against the great wide receivers? And they're shutting all of these dudes down. I mean, it's really remarkable to see, you know, the stat sheet and to see Ja'Marr Chase have 36 yards receiving or whatever it was, 35 yards receiving.
He's the wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, he's the best wide receiver in the NFL by far. And it's not even a discussion this year. He is the best wide receiver this year in the NFL. And the Chiefs held him the 35 yards and had him have a tantrum on the field, too.
The number one player in the NFL is a wide receiver in Miami. According to the players.
Who's that again?
Tyreek Hill. He's the number one player
in
the NFL.
I'm sorry, I must have. He's only, Tyreek Hill is only as good as his quarterback is.
Okay.
Oh, did that hurt you, Tyreek? Did you not like that? You're only as good as your quarterback, Tyreek.
Well, the players decided to rate him the number one player in the NFL this year, so I'm just giving that stat out.
No, I understand, but yeah. I'll come back at you, Tyreek.
Yeah.
You're only as good as your quarterback is. You don't make people better. They make you better.
Not only that, you can pivot if you're, you know, we're not moving a couch, but we can pivot to the other side, which is you think, oh, they're really stopping the run. They're really doing a good job at that. You mentioned Ja'Marr Chase's yards receiving.
That's right.
He leads the league in wide receiver yards. I think it's like 694.
I think that's what he's just under 700.
Somewhere around there. And he has the most touchdowns in the NFL. And, you know, you can go through it again. You look at these teams, wide receivers, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman. They play the Chiefs in week one. Shutdown. You look at, and I mean, that was a Lamar game, whatever. Mm-hmm. You look at week two, Cincinnati, Ja'Marr Chase. No T. Higgins, but Ja'Marr Chase. Week three, Atlanta, Drake London, stud. No matter how you want to look at it, good receiver. Quentin Johnson was on a hot streak coming into Kansas City in that game. He was like the guy that everybody's kind of like, okay. Ladd McConkey has now kind of maybe found his own in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what he can do.
Nice player, man.
I mean, he's just like a Wes Welker type, right? Yeah. Like he's just that dependent
guy.
You
take him in 2 seconds, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, everybody. Like, he's like...
You thought Mahomes liked Albert Wilson? This is like Albert Wilson times 15.
Could you imagine this offense with Ladd McConkey? And why am I getting goosebumps and the hair standing up on my arms for this conversation? But he would be great in this offense.
To kind of think about that, like the two things that I was in the draft pissed about was the fact that Raiders got Brock Bowers and the fact that the Chargers got Ladd McConkey. Because I was like, yeah, that like both those.
The
guys.
Raiders wouldn't have taken Brock Bowers though had Penix been there. That was their guy. Yeah. And so
blame Atlanta.
Well, I was going to say is that the Raiders blind squirrel found a nut, you know, because would Penix have been good in Oakland? Yeah, I think he would have been because he was my favorite quarterback coming out of the draft, but they may have slipped into something even better by having Brock Bowers, and now you can go out and maybe find your quarterback this offseason.
Now, the last three games are kind of outliers for giving defensive credit to the Chiefs secondary because they've had a pretty easy 3 weeks, right? Yeah. New Orleans, no Derek Carr. Or, I mean, he was there, but he was hurt in, like, the first quarter. Rashid Shaheed was only as good as his quarterback.
Right.
You go to San Francisco, Debo was out after the first play.
Right.
Ayuk didn't really play much.
No, he was done.
Juwan Jennings was out. So, I mean, it was, you know, it was one of those things. And then last week, Vegas, they just lost Davante Adams. They don't really have, I mean, they have a number two, solid number two guy. Like, Vegas has pieces. They just don't have a quarterback.
But see,
don't have a head coach.
The interesting, but I wouldn't want to see Antonio Pierce on the sidelines after I made a mistake.
I mean, you think about it, Vegas has a left tackle. They have a D end.
Yeah.
They have a solid number two wide receiver.
Yeah.
And
they got a great tight end.
And they have a good tight end.
Yeah.
They're missing a running back, a quarterback, and an offensive minded coach.
Probably so.
And then they're kind of scary.
Right.
Because I mean, they do have good pieces in good positions. But again, pretty easy week the last 2 weeks for the defense, and it gets easier this week because Godwin and Mike Evans are out.
Well, that's a huge deal for them, but I also think when you start to say all that, like this team has this or this team has that, or even look at the Texans last night, they give up 8 sacks to C.J. Stroud. We don't see these meltdowns with the Kansas City Chiefs because they've got a plan and they're ready to go. And so they lose somebody, it doesn't matter. They figure out a way for somebody to step up and fill in. And I don't know any other team that has that ability right now to do that. And so when a lot of these teams lose their top player, they're screwed. The Chiefs just continue to move along.
I am kind of interested with the Watson thing. He's good.
Watson, man. Like, yes!
He's one of those finds by Veach. Again, your guy. He's one of those finds. He was there last year. He was good last year. Last year they had Legarius Sneed as well as McDuffie.
Right.
And that's an interesting piece in the defense that I want to see moving forward because that does kind of scare me. Something else I'd like to see. By the way, did quick math. I should have known this because they're averaging 17 points a game. They're giving up 7 in the second half. How many do you think they're giving in the first half?
I'm going to guess 10.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I figured out math real quick.
There you go.
But 10 points in the first half. So if the Chiefs are up by 10 in the first half, the game's over.
Game's over.
In my opinion. If they have a 10-point lead going in the second half, you can sit back, smoke your stogie, have your glass of bourbon, do whatever you do in the wintertime. But
right.
Speaking of, things we like to see, I think we can all admit we're kind of ready. And maybe this is just the impatientness, mm-hmm. or maybe this is the eagerness as a Chiefs follower and somebody that does sports in this town. Kind of ready for that Mahomes game.
Are you?
I'm kind of ready for it. Like, I'm not
saying, if we don't get one this year?
His best game so far, at least in my mind, was week one against Baltimore. I know he had the 300 yards he hung up on. I think it was New Orleans. I think he hung up 300 on them. I can go back and look at his log. But the first week of the season, he did pretty well. Completion percentage-wise, had a touchdown, mm-hmm. no interceptions. Yardage-wise was fine enough, I believe. And I think now he's got his guy that because they showed, of course, all the people that do it that, you know, you can follow on the internet that show you where DeAndre Hopkins was open when he didn't see him yet because he's not looking at him that much yet.
DeAndre's going to have a big game on Monday night. I'm just going to tell you that.
You're taking that to the bank. Yeah. I believe you to believe that. And there's spots where now Mahomes is going to know he's there. Once that connection's there, which could happen this week against Tampa Bay, who has a very soft defense, S-A-W-F-T soft, mm-hmm. like very soft secondary, not great, one of the worst defenses.
Do they play the Tampa 2?
I don't know. I hope they play the creamsicles no matter what the rest of the year.
Oh, God, they should wear those.
We're all waiting. To me, at least, we're waiting for that game because if they go 8-0 on Monday night, and the defense does it again, and Mahomes has that game, because again, we know the history with Baker Mayfield and how Mahomes kind of turns up when Baker's in the crowd. And let's say Mahomes goes out there 22 of 30, 310, three touchdowns, 20 rushing yards, has that Mahomes game. Then everybody Tuesday morning goes, oh, blank. Now what?
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I want to see it, to see where the axis turns, because I don't think we need that from Mahomes with what we've seen from the defense and the way that they are always prepared and the way they do their things, why they're smart.
Mm-hmm.
But if he has that game where he goes out Monday night against Tampa, who has a soft defense, where he can take advantage of that with D-Hop, with Kelsey, who's now had an uptick since Rashee Rice has been out, and you got Xavier Worthy getting more and more comfortable, plus you got the run game, and Mahomes goes out there and does that, then it's like, okay, now we're in trouble.
Yeah, I don't know that we're ever going to see that game, though, from Patrick Mahomes this year. Like, the one that everybody is like, oh, yay, we got that game. And I was listening to his press conference yesterday on Cody and Gold, and he said something in that press conference yesterday that made me go, huh, that's a grown-up Patrick Mahomes. That was a really good quote. A lot of the times you listen to athletes, and it's just all cliche salads, right? And it doesn't matter. And somebody asked him yesterday, how much has your experience seeing these different coverages helped you so far in your career? And I'm like, okay, where are we going with this? And then Patrick gave this answer. I think when I was younger, I wanted to throw it deep every time. And there's good and bad to that. I think more than anything, it's just finding the right balance of still pushing the ball down the field, but at the same time, taking what is there and moving the change. I think we've done a great job of that. And I think we've started to execute better in the red zone. We've been able to score more points down there. We're going to continue to just work to get better. And we want to be playing our best football by the end of the year. He went on to say, I don't want to say we're more conservative, but definitely once you get a lead, you know that defense is going to get stops. We want to go in and score as many points as possible. I'm not going to act like we don't want to score. In certain situations where we might have pressed the issue and try to force something to make something happen, knowing that our defense can get stops and knowing that we can punt and get the ball back in a better type of field position, it speaks to the entire team. I think that's something that I've kind of evolved throughout my career. And so I heard that yesterday from Patrick Mahomes, and I'm like, the rest of the league better look out. Patrick Mahomes officially now has found the cheat code to the NFL, and he understands now that he's in, 30 roughly, that I don't have to go out there and make the highlight play every time. And if we go 3-and-out and punt it and the defense goes 3-and-out and we pinned him deep, we're going to get the ball back in great field position, and it's going to work beneficial for us. And so we all want to see that Mahomes game. I just don't know if we are going to see that Mahomes game, because it feels like Patrick Mahomes, before our eyes, has gone, I understand the league now, right? I understand everything that has to happen in this league for us to have success. He understands he has a good defense, they have a good punter, and it's okay to not hit the home run every single time.
Yeah, I think that if you give it in that sort of reference, Mahomes has gone from being Verlander from when he was at Detroit to Verlander when he got to Houston.
Yeah, learned how to pitch, right?
Where he's like, I don't need to throw 100 miles an hour for six innings. What I'm going to do is I'm going to throw 94, hit my spots,
yep,
win 3-1, and I'm going to get to the eighth, maybe the ninth inning, throw a complete game shutout.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I win 26-17, and everybody goes, where's the offense?
Yeah, but I want freaking Paul Skeens.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
I want
of course,
dirty mustache,
yeah,
fire throwing fastballs and being like,
He has how many in the first half? And he's already at two touchdowns. Okay, give him the third quarter, and then we can kind of paint it back.
Yeah.
Because like you said, if you're cooking, why not keep cooking?
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Get it figured out.
If it's working, it's working. But he's not going to be, you know, like he was maybe 2 years ago even, or even at the beginning of last year, up until Christmas maybe last year,
right,
where he's trying to force things. Like, it all of a sudden, it just all clicked for Patrick Mahomes. And if you're the rest of the NFL and you heard him say that yesterday or saw those quotes yesterday, you should be a little nervous, because you're like, man, now this guy's got it figured out. Like, he understands he doesn't have to do this, and he's going to take a short pass here and a long pass there and a short pass here and a handoff there, and he's going to do whatever it takes to win the game. Damn, Patrick Mahomes has got this league figured out right now, and that's exciting. So, I want to see the big game, but if he doesn't have to go out there and have the big game, he's just not going to do it. He understands what matters in this league now.
So, two hiccups I can go clear up. Carr did get hurt in the fourth quarter. It was early, I think, fourth quarter.
Okay.
Mahomes against Baltimore did throw an interception, but he was 20 of 28, 291, a touchdown, a pick. Pretty good game.
Yeah, that was a good game.
And then, New Orleans, he hung up 331, but threw a pick, no touchdowns, 28 of 39. And then last week, pretty good, 27 of 38, 262, two touchdowns. That interception was the one he tried to go all the way and, you know, throw it out down the field. But look. I respect your take. Like, I totally am fine with that. Like, I'm fine him being the conservative starter, not having to throw, 100 miles an hour for five innings. Go try to, throw a complete game. But, damn it, I like fireworks.
You do. But you know what I like better? All these wins, man.
Can we have both? Like, can we have like a 280 first half, three touchdowns, like solidified?
First half? I'd take that in the first
and then
half.
Second half,
just kind of hang out.
Passing, just dink and dunk.
Yeah, fine. Let's go with that. But I'm glad he's realized I don't have to go out there and win it. And he understands this defense is pretty remarkable right now, man. That's like a good luck charm, however you want to, refer to it. That defense is just absolutely amazing. And I think Patrick Mahomes is probably looking over there and going, damn, this has made my life a lot easier.
One guy called it quits. The other guy you think quit too. Both involve the Yankees. That's Bob Fesco. That's Nathan. And I'm Dusty. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
How about that D, baby?
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com